Let me introduce you to these fellows, to the Moe. One name is Addy, the other is Moe. Addy's a dick and Moe's just fat. Remember that, please, fellows, to the Moe. They're gonna talk wrestling. They're gonna make some jokes. Remember, Addy's a dick, Moe's just fat. Addy's a dick and Moe's just fat. Let's talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling.
Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Moe. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo.
Hi Mo.
Hi Addy. So here's what's going on. We're going to do a little bit of recording. We're going to talk about some various topics.
Yes.
That we have. Then we're going to go watch the Wrestle Kingdom 9.
Yes.
From presented by Global Force Wrestling.
Yes. Exclusively on pay-per-view.
Yeah, and then we're going to come back and give you a review of it.
Yes.
But we'll get into some of the other stuff first. But I'm really I realized that. I'm driving over to your place here. I'm like, I am really looking forward to this show.
Yeah, I am as well. It's going to be great. And I've just, no one spoiled it for me because a lot of people on Twitter watched it at midnight.
They actually did?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
People,
I was going to ask
our friend,
you. Had...
Our friend Cassidy, she watched it already at like midnight. Well, I don't know if she watched it at midnight. What I thought we should have done in hindsight, because, you know, we're retarded,
yeah,
is I should have ordered it at midnight.
Ordered at midnight.
And then we could have watched it at like 10 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, we could have, you know, but anyway, we're not that smart, so we're going to watch it at 5 o'clock.
We're definitely not that smart, and at 10 a.m. I am sleeping on a Sunday.
That's true. That's true.
I sleep until 10:59, and then football starts. Wakes me up.
Before you go? Well,
so,
you know, we have
so
to wait.
So she actually, I'm really good. I'm glad that here she ordered it, because I wasn't sure if she was into products other than WWE products. That's really cool that she ordered it and watched it.
Well, we have a local guy, Harry Boy Smith.
We do have our local Harry Boy.
Yeah, so our local Harry Boy.
Harry Boy Smith.
Right, yes.
Davey Boy Smith Jr. Harry Smith.
Harry Smith.
I don't think there's any boy in there.
Really?
No.
Huh. Well, he's not Mel Phillips.
No.
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 But yeah, so that was...
The one I'm looking forward to actually is Naito versus Styles. I can't wait to see, because I watched their match from the G1 Climax,
mm-hmm,
and it was a bloody affair. And Naito was the defending G1 champion, and Styles was the IWGP World Champion, and they had this bloody affair, and it was great. And I want to see them. I want to see that rematch. But all right, we'll get to all that stuff afterwards, though.
Yeah, so we'll get to that as soon as we have seen it. But surprisingly, actually, because we had thought we were just going to do basically a post show because really nothing was going to be happening. But the road to WrestleMania
began,
and there is now a proverbial fork
in
that road, because
to the WWE they may see it as a bump.
But, a speed bump.
Yeah, a speed bump. To people who would know
actually,
what to do, they would see it as a fork.
Or, yes, people will see it as a fork. WWE may just see it as a caution goat crossing sign.
Could be.
On the road. But really, we had thought that this Monday, the 5th of January, is when they would really start the show. That we thought lame duck for this past Monday. Not the case. First... good show that they've done since, August?
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been quite a while.
I mean, it was just great from the start to finish with the Daniel Bryan announcement and being able to contrast
was great, but it wasn't great. There's still a lot of stupidity. And the ending wasn't great.
Well, still...
The ending was stupid?
Contrast, though, the... Yeah, but
and
a story, as a standalone story, as a show, you start off with Edge and Christian are going to host. Edge, you give his snippets of his retirement speech, reminding us all about that emotional moment, and then talking about how Daniel Bryan, and we all know about what his situation is. I mean, that was the tip-off there when they did that, you know, okay, well, he's coming back.
Yeah.
But it was, the crowd was into that. I mean... Talking about hook, line, and sinker, the crowd was with that. He come back at the Royal Rumble. He's announced as being in the Royal Rumble, not retiring, obviously. He's coming back, which, you know, he went to a doctor in...
Did Edge and Christian pull him in the Royal Rumble while they still have power? Is that the gimmick?
No, he just... who knows? He just announced that he's in the Royal Rumble. Yeah. He just... whatever.
Yeah,
whatever. He's in the Royal Rumble.
That's the attitude Don got on everything. Just whatever. Just whatever the WWE. This doesn't make any sense. And there's no storyline logic to any of this, but whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Exactly. The WWE. The Whatever Wrestling Federation.
Pretty much.
Yes. So it's just, whatever. He's in the fucking Royal Rumble. That's good. And
World
so,
Whatever Entertainment is more like it.
What?
There's no wrestling.
There's no entertainment. But you've got, so that was the style of the story. And then, of course, at the end with Edge, I'll break his frickin' neck. And John Cena, of course, takes forever to get out because Cena's a dick.
Yeah, it was Cena as a dick.
And then Hunter and Stephanie are back.
Yay.
So, and guess what that falls under the category of?
Who gives a fuck?
Whatever.
Yeah, pretty much.
Whatever. They were going to come. See, the thing was, is that, like, they were going to come back. It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, it does.
Why?
Because they should be good.
They should be good?
It should be good.
Oh, it should be. Well, whatever. See? But it's him against Sting.
They don't need to come back. We don't need authority figures, A.
What?
B, if you're going to bring them back, you should do it in an entertaining way. And C, if you're going to bring them back, you should wait a little bit longer.
Ah, whatever. Seriously, who gives this shit?
What a stupid angle. What a stupid... You're right. They set up something that didn't make... They set up something... But the final, everything was fine except for the final. What was it that Big Show held Edge down for? 7 hours?
10 to 12 seconds, I believe.
Oh, I thought it was longer.
No, it's but you've got now.
Stupid.
Well, here's what you did.
You've established it's.
Well, here's what you've established. You've established that Hunter and Stephanie are back, so they can fight Sting at WrestleMania.
Yeah, so like I said,
so we can start that.
I had said, yeah, you can start
that. I
want
to see that.
I do too. I want
to. So I want that to start. So now it can fucking start.
But can't you add the story?
Whatever.
Better? Like
No, that they can't. They can't write the story better.
Oh, that's my.
You can write the story better. I can write the story better. My dog over there can write the story better. They cannot write the story better.
You know what?
So that's what we get.
I keep on forgetting this.
I know.
This is the part that's frustrating. Is I keep on going, but can't it be better?
And
no.
No,
I can't. Just accept it for the shitty product it is.
Yes.
And enjoy it.
And Hunter and Sting will be at WrestleMania and they can start that now.
You know, the one thing is, that is the only match we know for sure at WrestleMania.
That is true.
It is crazy. Here we are. We're in 2015. We only know one match for sure that is happening at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Luckily, it's a match I actually want to see.
Yeah.
I'm very much want to see that match.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people want to see that match, but based on the YouTube videos and stuff, reaction to Sting coming out, just him being there. Nobody cares. It's not about the match. It's about Sting being there, that moment.
Yeah.
And then there's the curiosity. What kind of match will they have? How good will Hunter be? What kind of shape will Sting be in?
And
but no matter what, it's going to be great.
19 years apart. Hunter can do jobs to Blade Runners at WrestleMania.
Yes. Yes. Very, yeah, I mean, but that's it. That's the one match.
And here's the other, I mean, we talk about, yes, one match locked in, like we okay. But the other one now, I mean, Seth Rollins has a bodyguard.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is The Big Show.
Yes, it is.
And The Big Show, that nasty, stinky giant,
yeah,
is very good friends with Hulk Hogan,
sure,
who can team with John Cena.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, but we'll see.
And now we've got the WWF mentality of, like, right now, what I kind of like about this is that, is it Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar now? Is it Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar now?
Yeah.
Is it Seth Rollins and Daniel Bryan now? And is it Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns right now? That one I'm ruling out because they just had that match. And the crowd didn't give a fuck. A hot crowd didn't give a fuck. And they just had the match.
I wouldn't call that a hot crowd.
They were hot for the things you need to be hot about. They were hot. For like a Daniel Bryan return, they were hot.
Well, Daniel Bryan, of course they were hot.
They enjoyed Edge and Christian. They had heat. They had some heat at the end. For the things that they, the key driving points, and I gotta tell you, their Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins to the company should be one of those points. And even now you fast forward to,
well, okay,
to the,
but you, the thing is, keep in mind a couple things. The crowd didn't give a fuck, but the ratings for all that, the ratings grew that whole time, and they were part of that hour that grew.
That's true.
And grew significantly.
Well, yes, because when you have nothing to start from.
That's true. They didn't start but they got, their first hour was very low, second hour was pretty average, third hour was quite strong. Especially for a third hour.
Not quite strong.
It's quite strong compared to what the third hour usually does.
We're at 1997 level ratings here.
Third hour was the biggest. It was the biggest.
It grew.
But third hours are usually much lower than that. And it grew.
They're not much lower than that. The third hour is usually the lowest.
Yeah.
But it's not much lower than the rating that it had. By maybe 200,000 people. If they fall to 3.5 million and they ended with 3.8?
Yeah.
So, I mean, whoopty shit.
But when they start at 3.
Yeah, exactly. They grew, right? They did grow.
So that's it. What I'm just saying is you're talking about the crowd not caring, but
well, you know why they grew.
As far
though.
As what they care about,
you know
they,
why?
You
no,
know what? They don't care about the crowd. They care about the ratings. We're all about the ratings.
You know what? You know, but you know why it grew?
What?
Because of Hunter.
Oh,
Hunter's back.
What?
Ratings will be fine. But I mean,
I suspect actually this Monday they'll be pretty shitty.
I got to tell you the other thing before we get into the Royal Rumble, because I think this whole conversation leads. The other thing I will say that I did enjoy about Raw was the Ryback promo. I thought you got to see Ryback. You know, he's talking about Ryan Reeves. He's talking about Skip Sheffield.
It's all the stuff that we talk about all the time. That there's just character development.
Yeah,
it's actual character development. It's backstory. It's understanding the character. It was a little contrived for me. His delivery was a little not great.
We're not talking about Cesaro.
That to me was really mind-blowing. But
when he steps through those four ropes, nobody is better.
No. Well, maybe when he's in a tag team, because they did win their tag team match against Tyson. So I don't know.
Are
they still a team or not?
With a finisher.
Yeah. So I think they are still a team. But then why do this stuff on Monday? It's inconsistent. But no, I mean, but both of them were trying to do some character development. Like I say, I mean, it's the right idea.
I want to know when DDP got on the booking team.
It's BNB.
And then all of a sudden you got Ryback talking about the power of positive thinking.
Yeah, it's true.
Right? He should have said he read DDP's book.
Yeah.
That's what he should have said.
Positively Page.
Positively Page, yes.
Not the secret.
Here's a yo-yo. Okay. That could be his finishing thing. He could bring out a yo-yo and whack people with it.
Yeah.
Great. But yeah, I think that the Ryback thing I did enjoy in terms of, character...
It's the right move.
Development, yeah.
It's something they need to do more of.
And, and Tyson Kidd now back on the main roster, because you got Curtis Axel now taking the Tyson Kidd spot on NXT.
Yeah, I suppose,
Axel is going down to be that veteran, main rostery kind of, guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's going to be his role.
Yeah, that's fine.
And be in sort of upper, in the mix down there.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that. But going back now to the main angle, I mean, it's with Heyman and Rollins, you've got something there. So, Rollins can cash in on this. I don't know where that leaves Lesnar. Obviously, they're pissed that Lesnar is going back to UFC or Bellator or wherever he's fucking going.
Yeah, well, but.
That's what it is.
It's stupid.
I know it's stupid, but that's taken him out of the main event of WrestleMania, potentially.
Well, potentially, and which is the wrong move.
It is the wrong move.
I think they should go forward with Reigns taking the title
off
Lesnar. I do. Yeah, I think they should.
I think they should go with Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar.
Taking the title off Lesnar?
Yeah, Daniel Bryan beats Brock Lesnar. I think that's the best move. It's your hottest guy and your most legitimate star.
I gotta see. You say it's their hottest guy.
It is. Automatically, it's their hottest guy.
I don't know. I think he might be their hottest guy. Yeah, he's their hottest guy. He just came back. I don't know that he's going to be the same. I don't know that it was so much a perfect storm to create kind of last year's crowd following for Daniel Bryan.
Where did it start, though? Really, at the Royal Rumble?
Yes, it did.
And guess where the Royal Rumble is?
Where is it? In Arizona?
It is in Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. That's right.
And it's in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania?
Yes. Oh. And you've got a Philadelphia crowd?
Yes, you have a Philadelphia. In Philadelphia. You have
Philadelphia, you've got a Philadelphia crowd. And you can't tell me that the Philadelphia... You can't tell me that the Philadelphia crowd is going to shit on the Royal Rumble the second Daniel Bryan is eliminated.
I don't know.
I do. They will shit on the Royal Rumble. Roman Reigns, the best thing that Roman Reigns could do, okay, is go get a fucking star and roll in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 because he's fucking Batista.
I'm not 100% sure of that. I think that last year it was the sense that Daniel Bryan's getting screwed. He's never going to get his moment. We're never going to get ours. And people were really into the chase. I think this year it's more like, we love Daniel Bryan. Yay. Oh, somebody eliminated him. We're going to hate that guy. And I think you can get heat by what you do with Daniel Bryan and on a guy for him to compete.
I think it's retarded.
I think you could do it in a way that gets heat on an opponent for Daniel Bryan, but doesn't ruin your long-term plan.
I just think it's absolutely unbelievably stupid for him not to be in the Royal Rumble and not win it, because I think they'll shit on it.
I don't think so. I think they would...
Like, announcing him after the Royal Rumble
would have been coming back
would have been great.
But they're trying to increase pay-per-view and network buys.
Well, they're trying to increase network buys.
Yeah.
Because if you bought it on pay-per-view, you're retarded.
Yeah, but a lot of people will. As evidenced by Survivor Series.
Well, I mean, I keep telling you, Virginia is a state.
Yeah.
So, it's... But Daniel Bryan, I mean, yeah, the smart move would have been right after. But now, I said,
well,
what I like about it, though, what I like, it does, again, it throws a monkey wrench.
Well, we don't know what's going to happen anyways, and that's the thing. We don't know what match is going to happen.
And that's, I like that.
I mean, you talk about, it's partially that they're pissed at Brock Lesnar. It's partially that they're worried about having a repeat of WrestleMania 20 in the Goldberg-Lesnar match. And that's because they're morons, because that is not what's going to happen again.
And that was great.
It was very entertaining,
but it was great because it was entertaining as fuck. And you had because the reason it's not going to happen again is both guys in that match were leaving.
Yeah, well, but Lesnar was the one they really hated for it. But it was a different situation back then. WWE had a lot of good favor with their fan base, so somebody leaving was seen as being somebody kind of being a traitor. The Rock had just left, even though he was there for that night. Essentially, had left.
Yeah,
and the Lesnar had a lot of people, you know, put him over, like the Undertaker on the way to where he was. And then you had the idea that
the Undertaker put Brock Lesnar over.
Yeah,
weird.
But to make him a star. And then you just kind of had the thing where it was like, it was in New York. It was only about 17,000, 18,000 people, probably 18. Yeah. You know, so it was a lot of New York fans that would mix in with the hardcore fans. It was a different situation. We're going to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
If I know that Lesnar's leaving to go to UFC, I'm not going to boo him out of the building like he's a traitor. You now have a company where Alberto Del Rio and Punk and all these people are leaving.
Yeah.
You don't have a company with the same good stuff. Plus, good kind of feelings. The crowd isn't behind them as much. People will be curious to see him in the UFC. At least they know he's going to the UFC now, or Bellator instead of last time where he was just leaving to do who knows
football.
Well, there was rumors already of football then, yeah. But
no, that's what it was. He was going to play football for the Vikings.
Yeah, that was the rumor. Yeah, yeah. We didn't.
Well, that's what happened.
Well, that is what happened.
So it wasn't really a rumor.
Well, it was because he hadn't signed a contract yet.
Well, because he probably wasn't legally able to.
Exactly. So that made it a rumor.
Yeah, but then it happened.
You're a fucking dick. And Addy's a dick.
Oh, you're looking fat.
So the point is, what the fuck was I saying?
It doesn't matter.
And plus you're 70,000 people in an open air stadium. You're going to have a totally different dynamic. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have the crowd turn on Lesnar and boo him out. And even if they do, it's against Reigns, so you want him to be booed.
Well, he's a heel.
Reigns won't.
Right,
yeah. It's not the same thing where they'll be booing Reigns too, like they were Lesnar.
Or
Goldberg. Yeah, well, or Bryan. That's what I'm saying. It's not a problem to go ahead with. The thing about Roman Reigns is, if you look at WrestleMania history,
yes,
we've had a lot of people where the belt has been given to them to say, okay, it's your era. Right. You know, we've had that moment where, okay, we had really for Cena, it was when he defended the title against Hunter. Was the one where it's like, okay, the Cena era has begun. You had Austin, the Austin era has begun. You had
the boyhood dream.
Diesel defending his belt was where they were kicking off, trying to kick off it as him as the champion.
They started that right away. When he beat him in Madison Square Garden.
But this is the big, you know, like, we're anointing you thing, right? Like,
WrestleMania historically, for Diesel, though, not really. But anyway, go ahead.
I disagree. I think this is where they're
How is Shawn stealing his spotlight and Lawrence Taylor and Bam Bam Bigelow being in the main event Diesel's culmination and kicking off ceremony? It wasn't.
I disagree. See, it was intended to be. Shawn Michaels wasn't supposed to steal the spotlight, is the thing.
But he
did. But he did.
That's why I don't consider Diesel and WrestleMania.
But I'm talking about in their minds what they're booking. I'm not talking about the actual reality of it. I'm talking about what they were trying to do. They were trying to say, okay, this is Diesel's moment now. He's going to carry the company. Now, this is Shawn's moment. This is Brett's moment. This is Hunter's moment. This is whatever. It's Cena's moment.
Shawn's moment, yes, I'll give you. Austin, definitely. Cena, not really. It was more Batista's night.
I didn't say that.
I know what you mean.
I said the next year against Hunter was the one where it was like, this is... Yeah, it was. That's the next year.
WrestleMania Borders.
Yeah, that section. Was the one where... But the point is that's where they were trying to say... So it's
WrestleMania in its 20s was a lot like my life in my 20s. It was a blur.
Drunk.
Yeah.
So... So the point is, though, what I'm trying to make here is...
There's a point.
Is that... What most of the time they've done this a lot of times where use WrestleMania to anoint the guy, saying, okay, now he's the guy.
Yes,
they've done that many times, but when they've done it every single time it's worked, it's because the crowd said he's the guy and they went, this is undeniable, he's the guy, we got to go,
right?
And even when the crowd said, more than once,
okay, when?
Well, Bret Hart, he was the best choice they had when they gave him the belt in WrestleMania 10, he was the guy for a little while. Shawn Michaels,
okay,
again.
I'll give Brett to a certain degree.
Shawn Michaels, same thing. I mean, but he was the best choice,
Austin.
Right? Austin, yeah. Cena, blah blah blah. So I mean, they've done it many times, but usually when it hasn't always worked. Even when the crowd picked the Ultimate Warrior as being the guy, it didn't work.
Well, Warrior.
Anytime you've looked at, and this is where I'm going to come back to, they tried with Nash there,
yes.
But they picked Nash. But the problem was the crowd hadn't picked him. So when they say we're going to kick off and we're going to anoint him and make him in front of our biggest audience on the biggest stage, we're going to make him the guy. If the crowd hasn't picked him, then it's probably not going to work. And that's the case with Reigns here. It's like you guys can pick him and kick him off and beat Lesnar and do all that. But if the crowd's not the one who picked it, they're not going to get behind it just because you're deciding this is the guy you want.
And that injury has really, so far, hurt Roman Reigns because he...
I don't think it's made a big difference.
I think it has because the...
He's about the same level as he was.
But we don't know. But yeah, he is because he left. And then he's come back and he's just picked up where he's left off.
Yeah.
He hadn't had... Right now, we're getting ready for WrestleMania. We're getting ready for the Royal Rumble, which is going to tell us what that match is. And... The months of September, October, November, and December would give us and maybe the company, although not that they listen necessarily the same as us, a good idea of where the crowd is standing with Roman Reigns.
Well,
and
we don't have that right now. What would we have had if he had stayed? He would have beaten Rollins? What, twice?
Rollins, Big Show probably would have been. Yeah. You know, but Mark Henry maybe, but... And that's what. But the crowd would need to latch on to him.
Yeah.
Or they would shit on him. Yeah. Or they wouldn't give a fuck about him.
But it's the same
right
thing.
Now, I mean, right now, you've started... What you've done right now is you've started this... Because you've started this now at the end of December. And so now you've got... Instead of having September, October, November, December, 4 months, now you have January, February, March. You have 3 months... And those 3 months, you've got to give the direction for him to WrestleMania, and you're giving the time for the fans to possibly shit on him.
But I don't think they would have shit on him. They'd be the same thing they are now, just not as into him as a main eventer.
Yeah, exactly.
As they would be, which isn't shitting on him. Well, and I don't think that would have
apathetic.
Changed. So I don't think it made any difference.
Here's our apathetic main event of WrestleMania.
But here's the thing is, I still don't think it's a bad idea to put him over because...
I think the injury hurt him from that perspective.
I don't think so. I think he's the exact same level.
That's why I think it hurt him, because he's at
and
the
I don't
exact
think,
same
but,
level.
But I don't think he would have gotten into a higher level.
Well,
I don't think he would have gotten to a lower level. I think he just is where he is. I don't think it would have changed anything.
I think that's what hurt him.
I don't think so.
We don't know.
No, we don't know.
And we don't know, and I think that's
now I think, we're going I think into the guy, time. I think the interesting thing is the injury to him, the guy it helped wasn't Dean Ambrose, it was Seth Rollins.
Yes.
That's the guy who benefited the most from it.
I mean, and Seth Rollins is the you know, the WWF MVP of 2014 when it comes to the matches.
Beside the Usos.
Yeah, the Usos as well. But I mean, in terms of singles competition,
you know,
Seth Rollins has been the best guy. And I mean, I don't know when you or what. I mean, we don't know what their plans are. I don't know that they know what their plans are, to be honest. Other than like we know Sting and Hunter.
Now, I don't think it's a bad idea to go forward. I don't think it'll work because it hasn't worked historically. But if you go forth with Reigns and you try, it doesn't hurt to try. Worst comes to worst is he's not as good a drawing champion as you had hoped, and you've learned that he's not ready for that role, at least not now. And that's fine. Hunter wasn't ready for that role when he got in either. You know, I mean, but he grew into it more. And, you know, I mean, it happened. Batista wasn't ready for that role at first either. You know, he grew into it
more. I think Batista...
Actually, he kind of burned hot for a little while.
He did. Yeah, he did. His feud with Hunter... Was good for that post WrestleMania.
But it's historically not uncommon for the guy. I mean, Bret Hart wasn't ready for that role when he first got it.
Nope.
It's not so uncommon for a guy to not be ready for the world title when Shawn Michaels, another chance, another example. Chris Jericho, not ready for the title when he finally got it, right? But he grew into it to a point where the next time he got it, Edge. I mean, we don't really know because they pulled that off him too early.
I think Edge was.
Yeah,
a guy that could have, but yeah,
but I mean, it's okay. Go ahead, put the belt on him. You're in a different era where it doesn't matter as much. You have a lot of other stuff on the card. The crowd's going to be into. Anoint him at your biggest event. See if it works. See if that gives him the momentum. If it turns it around, see if he becomes what you guys think he's going to become. And if he doesn't, then switch plans at Survivor or SummerSlam. I don't think it really matters. I think we're in an era where because it matters less. About pay-per-view draws, you can be more, and if you think you have the guy that's going to turn the company around, again, they think he's going to be The Rock, or at least they did.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure they really think that anymore, but I just think we kind of know what Daniel Bryan is, so I think you just keep him in your hip pocket,
and if
the time comes, then you have Daniel Bryan beat a heel Roman Reigns at SummerSlam. If Reigns isn't drawing as the champion you want.
See, to me, this is another situation where injury has put it into what-if mode when it comes to Daniel Bryan. He got two shitty matches with Kane.
Yep.
And
a shitty feud.
And then he vacated.
Yep.
And that was his title run. So Daniel Bryan hasn't had a title run. It's the same way Bret Hart didn't have a title run when he first, you know, had his thing. He had the one-off match against Shawn, the one-off match against Razor. And then, because Yokozuna won the Royal Rumble, he had that match.
He had more of a significant title run than Daniel Bryan, because he had all those TV matches against Virgil.
Papa Shango.
1-2-3 Kid.
No, 1-2-3 Kid was later. 1-2-3 Kid was that second run in 1994. But
the point is, though, that they were billing him as the fightingest champion. So
absolutely, and he took on his contract. He did, but the time was longer. In
it was 9 months. He had it for
9. What? Yeah, no, but Daniel,
actually, I guess it wasn't 9.
No, it was seven, October. Seven months. Guess what 7 months is in today's wrestling?
2 months.
2 months, which is what Daniel Bryan added.
A little bit longer.
That's what I'm saying. Is it? I can compare the two because, you know, Bret Hart never really. I mean, we talked about the what if plans for Bret Hart to fight Jake, to fight the Warrior. Right, to fight
if he had the opponents that he was supposed to have instead. Yeah.
And push those up, and he never got them, so he never got that. And Daniel Bryan yet never got that. I mean, he was supposed to fight Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam.
And lose.
And yeah, and he was hurt, and so he never got that.
He never got to lose. Yeah.
He never got to lose. But hey, he loses, and maybe they do that squash match, and then he wins the Royal Rumble, and comes back and is victorious against him at WrestleMania, right? I mean, you don't know what's...
I also
don't know what Daniel... Like,
I still...
You talk about back pocket and the fans got what they wanted last year. I didn't get what I wanted last year because he won the title, but I never really got to see him defend it.
We never got to see his run.
I've never seen the Daniel Bryan era.
No,
what
I
he
know.
Could do.
I know you
and,
haven't,
and
but
so,
you're not going to.
Well, you might. And that's what I'm saying, is you still might. I think they're still going to go with Roman Reigns because I think these people are stupid.
I don't think it's stupid, like I say.
I understand the idea that we got to try somebody new.
Yeah.
Okay, but to me, Daniel Bryan is still somebody new.
I agree he is, but I didn't get the sense that there was any momentum behind Daniel Bryan. And I just hope, number one, I don't know that, okay, yeah, he's back. Is he going to stay healthy? Well, I don't trust him.
Well, that's the other part, is it? I mean, there was some...
So there's that, right?
There's this mysterious doctor in Denver.
Yeah.
I want this guy.
I don't want this guy to get hurt again. I don't want this guy to put himself at risk. I don't want this guy to do too much. Like, I learn to work in a different way. We're learning to work like Shawn Michaels did in a different way as he went forward, or put him in tags. I'm okay with any of that because I don't want to see Daniel Bryan beat up and not able to walk in 5 years. When we saw Mick Foley here in person, it's frightening. You know, I remember
looking at you and saying, when did Captain Lou Albano come to town?
Yeah. I don't want that. So, I mean, I have to see, number one, that he's healthy. And
what do you got against Captain Lou?
Perhaps they have to see that as well. The Order.
Ah, definitely. Well, if he just washed those shirts.
Yeah, exactly. But he doesn't.
And those elastics.
Elastics.
But I think...
That's one thing. But more to the point is, I didn't have a sense there was any momentum behind his title reign last time. I don't think I have any sense there would be this time, because I don't think they'd book him any better, or really be behind him. But even more than that, like I've said before, it was about the chase. The crowd didn't really want him as champion as much as they wanted to cheer for somebody they wanted as champion.
That's what I'm talking about. Chalking it up to injury, we will never know.
We'll never know.
And that's why I would like to find
out. And this is why I had said with Daniel Bryan gone that Dolph Ziggler was going to be the new Daniel Bryan, which he was becoming. Now, he's the one, of all the people who are fucked in this situation, man, if he's not the highest on the list, he's pretty goddamn high.
Yeah, he's definitely the Kelly Kelly of the World Wrestling Federation.
On his knees?
Just getting fucked.
Oh.
But, they still, that's the other part of it is when you look at WrestleMania now, and you look at a guy like a Dolph Ziggler and a Daniel Bryan and a Randy Orton and all these roles for these people, and even, I mean, if Roman Reigns does, I mean, okay, let's just say it's Roman Reigns or Daniel Bryan goes against Brock Lesnar.
Okay. Right? Or a three-way, I could see that.
Well, fuck, did they do another three-way?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't see it. I mean, maybe, but I don't know.
I could see it.
You know what, here's the thing. If Daniel Bryan is going to win, three-way.
Yeah.
If Roman Reigns is going to win, it's got to be one-on-one.
That's true.
Because the crowd.
The crowd will choose Daniel Bryan.
Well, and even if they're split, you're still not getting that reaction.
They won't be.
They won't be, but you still wouldn't get that reaction.
Yeah.
Right? And so, I mean, with all of these factors in the... WrestleMania becomes unclear.
Yeah.
You know? Like you said, Randy Orton came back in a dark situation on Raw.
And obviously, Sheamus has suffered the most devastating injury of all time.
What's that?
Because he's... You know, wasn't he stomped or something like that from Rollins?
Maybe.
Remember? I don't know. Right before Survivor Series? We haven't seen him since.
Anyway, we haven't seen him since. And he's healthy. And yeah, well, he's got to do a heel run, I think.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. And then, there you go. Daniel Bryan against heel Sheamus at WrestleMania. Let's try that again.
It could be.
Yeah, it'd be stupid.
It depends on how it depends on the storyline and how it's done.
So yeah,
if he can get heat, heat when he throws him out in some way, right, then it's fine.
Yeah, so it'll be stupid.
Well, it probably will be stupid.
Yeah, depends on. You just said it depends on the story.
That's kind of stupid.
We Talk Wrestling, January 5th, 2015. Mo learns nothing.
You know, I'm starting to think you don't have a lot of faith in them.
I have no faith in them. I have faith that... You know what? It's not even that I don't have any faith in them. I have some faith in going into WrestleMania season that I'm going to like it. I liked Raw. But what I've learned is to not really overthink things, because I realize we're going to do a better job than them, and it's just going to piss us off.
So just sit back and enjoy it, monkeys.
Sit back and you take what you get. You talk about what you like, you talk about what you didn't like, you talk about what you'd like to see, and realize that just because I'd like to see it probably means that it's not going to happen.
We should do a podcast doing that.
Want it? What do you want to call it?
I remember when we were trying to come up with a name for this damn show.
Oh.
We were throwing out so many weird things.
Yeah.
It took us forever.
It did.
Yeah. And then I came up with this.
Yeah, yeah. And we used it anyway.
What were we talking about?
Wrestling.
Oh, yeah. That's what we talk about.
We talk about it. Let's see. That ends all of my notes. Apparently there is no mouse costume involved in Adrian Neville's Mighty Mouse gimmick.
Oh, yeah?
It's just going to be... They've said now... The term Mighty Mouse is probably... They feel got out... has been too harped on, I guess.
Okay.
It's essentially going to be closer to, let's say, Crash Holly. Just to make you feel better.
It doesn't.
What?
Only slightly.
Crash Holly was damn entertaining.
Yeah.
But, no.
Because he was Crash Holly.
Yes.
Adrian Neville is not.
Is no Crash Holly? We don't know that.
Adrian Neville is Adrian Neville.
Does Adrian Neville do coke?
Play to his strengths. all this stuff that... that's the thing that...
Makes the lines with his
ears.
It's
like the Cesaro thing. What you have is...
You mean Tazaro?
What you have is certain things that he's good at. That the crowd was starting to react to.
Yes.
And without even trying to it, they were highlighting it.
Yep.
And it was getting over with the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've identified what he's not good at. And what you've done is you've hidden the things that he's good at.
Yes.
You've enhanced the things that he's not good
at. You've taken away the giant swing... And you have...
Replaced it
with a shitty word-stumbling promo. I felt so bad for him because I thought, okay, here we go.
And it was written for him.
And I think I even... As soon as it started, I think I texted you that Cesaro has a new gimmick based on the podcast, the Austin podcast.
Yeah.
And then I think just as I probably hit send on that, he said, anybody wants to step between these four ropes? And I was like...
Yeah.
Four sides. And then he goes, four sides. Like, and it was just so bad.
Yeah.
And I felt so bad for him. And then I felt even worse when he said anyone and Bad News Barrett come down because it's his return. So we knew where this was going.
Yeah.
And it was just
Bad
like,
News Barrett, who they think now is going to be a baby fan. I don't know what the fuck. I do know this. Like I said, Sean or Paul Heyman. What do
Sean
you do?
Heyman?
What do you do? Paul Heyman, what do you do with the guys? Hide their weaknesses.
Yes, accentuate their strengths.
And they're doing the opposite.
Yes, they are.
That's the point.
Yeah.
Is it's so easy. They should look at every single person on the roster, and this is the same thing with an Adrian Neville or whatever.
Yeah.
Just look at every single person on the roster and say, okay, this is what he's good at. We're going to make sure that that's the part that gets over. If he can't talk, fine. You know what? New Japan Pro Wrestling?
What's that now?
What we're going to watch here in about 15
minutes. Hardly any of those guys can cut a promo.
And you know what? They're selling out. They don't cut promos. Like, seriously, like they don't. Like, occasionally you'll get something in the back or whatever, like after the show. Or
I heard one guy cut a promo. I couldn't understand a word.
So it was AJ Styles? He's from Georgia.
Oh, that explains it.
But, but if it's about... The presentation is about the wrestling. If you can get the persona over, the presentation over, the character, like the gimmick, the wrestling, you can get all that over. And if that's what a guy is good at,
yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah.
And if you have somebody else who's a good promo and can't wrestle, then let him do that. The idea that you have to make everybody the same thing, like everybody needs to be able to cut a great promo and be a solid hand in the ring. Fuck no, that's not the case, actually.
No.
That is not the case. If you have a guy who's a great wrestler,
yeah,
and he doesn't need to say a thing to get over, and Goldberg's a fine example that in the modern era it could still happen.
But even not Lesnar, to Vince.
Even with Lesnar, though.
Well, Lesnar had Heyman, though.
Not, well.
Yeah, from the get-go.
Yeah, I guess he did. You're telling me if Lesnar hadn't had Heyman and had cut no promos and had been the same guy, he would have got, he would not have gotten
been,
over?
I think he would have been fine. But
he would have gotten over.
And Goldberg again, and the unfortunate... the unfortunate example with Goldberg, or the fortunate thing about the example with Goldberg, it didn't happen in WWF.
No.
So it doesn't. So to them, it doesn't count.
To them, it doesn't count.
Give him a gold wig. Let's get going.
Yeah, but that's not the case. All you have to... You can get a guy who is... You can get a guy who doesn't cut a good promo, but if you accentuate what he's good at, you get somebody else who cuts a great promo, you get somebody else who does a little bit of everything. But whatever they're good at, that's what you make to use to make them a star.
The problem,
and the things that they don't good at, you don't harp on them. You don't sit there and say, "Oh, this guy's boring, so let's give him a gimmick where everybody calls him boring." They've been doing this for years, and guess what? This is part of the reasons why it just continues to go down a little bit.
Well, you know,
they always highlight what the people are shitty at. And they complain about
it. The reason that they do that, and the reason that it continues to go down and keeps going down, because the last time they were successful, that's what they did. Is we need guys that can deliver, and we need guys that can cut promos. The problem with that is that the guys that they had were Steve Austin, The Rock, Mick Foley, Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
I mean, Jericho.
Yeah.
I mean, you had all of these guys, and then you throw in a guy.
You didn't need anybody writing for them.
Then you throw in a guy like Hunter, who can't cut a promo. And Undertaker, who had Paul Bearer there. And even Undertaker could cut his promo.
Well, that's the thing, right?
You know, and Hunter, who was fucking the boss's daughter, got a pass, but... I mean,
well, he wasn't a bad promo.
Yes,
he was worse than the other guys. He wasn't awful.
Was awful. Bad promo.
Nah.
Yes.
Here's an example in the modern era.
Okay.
Jeff Hardy got over.
Yeah.
Recently.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest draw in the company for a period of time. Had his problems. If he hadn't had those problems, would have continued to be the biggest draw probably.
Yes.
Couldn't cut a fucking promo for the life of him. Didn't matter.
No, it didn't matter.
Because you know what? With Jeff Hardy, they managed to highlight what was good about him, and to highlight what wasn't.
But that was putting someone's head through a wall to do that.
Yeah,
they didn't go, hey, look at this guy, let's do that. No, it happened.
Yeah,
it just.
But it's the point being that it still can happen. It's
of course it can happen. Daniel Bryan can't really cut a promo.
No,
better than Jeff Hardy, sure, but he can't really.
No, he's, you know what? His stuff with Kane, when it, all that scripted stuff, he was very funny. It was, those are good promos. Like
the Team Hell No, you mean?
Yeah.
Not the feud.
No, fuck no. Not the feud.
But no. I mean, like, so what they haven't had a lot of exposure to, okay, is since they got rid of managers, are guys that can't cut promos that have really gotten over. Eddie Guerrero could cut a promo. JBL could cut a promo. Benoit couldn't.
But Benoit couldn't.
Was pushed, but Benoit didn't get over.
Well, he got over enough to win the WrestleMania.
Yeah, he did, but that was it.
But you know what? He was over there.
Like, because then he got pushed underneath with Eugene and Hunter.
Okay, he did.
And Little Dick, and then he fought Kane.
But
sound familiar?
You're right, because they weren't confident on him.
Yes.
But he was over leading into that. He was over when he won the Royal Rumble. He was over for that entire 2-year period. He was over as much as any main eventer.
Oh, yeah.
He was over in WCW as much as the main eventers without cutting a promo.
Right.
So it's not true. Now, keep in mind, though, all that, the one, even though we say he can't cut a promo, that promo he did where he talked about being away from his family and how much he's had to sacrifice and how this is his art, he did that
loves his family.
How he did that promo before his Kurt Angle Royal Rumble match.
Yes.
Was a promo that Kill was a promo. Big part of why he got over at that period.
Yes.
So you say you can't cut a promo. I disagree. You can cut a promo. Most people can cut a promo if they're given chance to be themselves or to highlight their personality. But if you're told, if you're like Cesaro and told, here's what we want you to do, and it's you know, then it's not going to work. So
that was one of the best. That was Benoit's best promo.
I don't.
That was Benoit's best promo.
Okay. Yeah, it was probably Benoit's best promo, and I'm worried what you're going to say next.
It was one of the better promos of that year. It was one of those promos that you always remember what your physical location was as soon as you heard it.
Let's go watch New Japan World.
Okay. So yeah, I think that's going to be it. The road to WrestleMania. There's a fuck in the road. And I'm actually interested to see what's going to go on. Not as interested as I am to watch Global Force Wrestling Presents, New Japan Pro Wrestling Presents, Wrestle Kingdom 9.
The January 4th Tokyo show with the IWGP champion.
Yes.
Just to confuse people more.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll be
come on, JR.
We'll be great. We'll be right back.
Well, to you, for us, it's going to be hours.
I know, but we'll be right back.
Okay. Are we off then?
Yeah, we're off. We're going to go watch the show now.
Okay, just leave it running.
Okay. All right, Ed, we're back.
Yeah.
Wow. So, Wrestle Kingdom 9.
Wrestle Kingdom 9. Yes, yes, we just watched it.
It's in the books.
It's in the books.
Yes.
And I very much enjoyed it.
I did too. I never knew how many WWE wrestlers are exactly like the wrestlers in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
From both me and from JR, right?
Yes. That's true. That's
yeah.
True. Mostly from JR.
Mostly from JR. Mostly a little bit from, yeah. Yeah, Wrestle Kingdom 9.
9.
Yeah, we're back and you have really bad gas, mm-hmm. always.
Yeah. Good pizza.
So, yeah.
Just go from, let's start the fucking
do we cars? Do this? Or yeah. Do we? Because we had a few, what do you call them?
Yeah, we'll talk about it later.
Okay.
It's not really that big. Let's start the opening contest here on the New Japan Global Force Pro Wrestling Wrestle Kingdom 9 Breathe show is the Young Bucks against the Forever Hooligans, against the Time Splitters, against Red Dragon.
Yep.
I got all that right.
You actually did. As I was looking it up. Yes. To make sure that we would get it right, you got it right.
And we were wondering throughout the match, I guess, what the future of Ring of Honor New Japan Pro Wrestling relationship was. And we got a couple answers during the show. The first one here was Red Dragon retaining the IWGP Junior Tag Team Championships.
Yes.
And then later on, we would find out that they're coming in May of 2015.
And I had heard that they did have some sort of working agreement still going, but I wasn't quite sure the nature of it, and if anything it was going to have, you know, to tie in with GFW, mm-hmm. You know, in the future. So, but the fact that they held on to the belt, the working agreement is going to continue happening. We're going to see the New Japan guys in ROH again. It's going to be great.
And if Matt Stryker's commentary is any indication, Global Force Wrestling is now affiliated with Lucha Underground, Ring of Honor, NXT.
Yeah, WWE, yeah. And of course TNA.
Oh yes, TNA's embarking on a great new journey.
Yeah. As he put it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get to when Matt Stryker loses all credibility.
We'll get to Matt Stryker and Jim Ross at the end of the show.
Yes.
But yeah, the new Red Dragon retains a very good match.
Really
three and three quarter, a lot of crazy spots. Just kind of what you expected. The type of match that's just, like I said, really fast paced, incredibly athletic, inventive moves. A lot of fun, difficult for any announcer to call, especially difficult for JR to call because it's just so opposite of his
moves.
Yes, of his style of wrestling.
Yes.
So, I mean, he was a little, he was kind of having a little bit of problems, I think,
problems.
There. Yeah, but, and again, even though they didn't win it, the stars of the match, the Young Bucks.
Yeah, let me look at my notes, and I don't have notes, Jim Ross, and... I mean, that was the whole thing. Is Jim Ross was really starting to find his way into... He would get there, but he really was an on-the-job training for Jim Ross to be able to talk about these guys. And, of course, that's why you needed a guy. We talked earlier about, you know, Scott D'Amore told us about all how big of a fan Matt Stryker was.
Yeah.
And talking to Scott D'Amore, I said, okay, well, if he's a big fan, if he's a big enough fan and he really follows this, then he should be able to... know the story of all of these. Instead, he was Matt Stryker, and instead of Matt Stryker, the WWF announcer, instead of Matt Stryker, the fan, and would just do these. You could hear him talk like this, and you knew exactly that there was going to be bullshit coming out of his mouth. Like, it was that he gets that tone.
Yeah.
And that really soft tone, and you know that he's just about to snow you.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's what happened this match throughout the whole show. And but I mean, it was a great match.
I didn't have any question that he knew the product and knew the moves and knew the name of the moves and some of the backstory. Certainly, and, you know, partially from study and partially from watching it. But he still, Matt Stryker had his Matt Stryker isms.
Yes.
But again, we'll get more into that later on. Right now, we're just going to talk so much about the
match. And the match itself, again, a lot of high spots, a lot of dives, a lot of kicks, a lot of tandem quick offense.
But most of the time, when it was something you went with that was extra cool, it was the Young Bucks.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, again, we were going to talk about the announcers, but we weren't going to talk just about the match. But it does beg here that, of course, Matt Stryker very much has a grudge against Dave Meltzer.
Yeah.
Very apparent by the, what do they call it? The Indie Taker?
Indie Taker, instead of the Meltzer. He did mention Meltzer Driver.
Indie Taker called the Meltzer Driver, whatever. And, great, yeah.
Yeah, there was a few
times. That made me laugh.
Again, we'll probably get into that a little bit more, but it's pretty obvious. Dave Meltzer was a little bit critical of the choice. One of the people, there's a lot of voices that were critical.
Right.
Choice of Matt Stryker. Dave Meltzer was one of them, and it was more than once it came up in this show, coming across like Matt Stryker was a little bitter about that, and this is one of it, you know, one of the moments. But
it was, but anyway, that was, I mean, so the, yeah, the Bucks did some cool stuff. Red Dragon did some cool stuff. Really, just overall, I thought it was a
very good match. Like I said, I'd give it about 3 3/4.
No DeLorean.
It was, not a DeLorean, but a 13-minute match.
Yeah.
And then you moved on to really the only real dud of the night.
What was it, a 4-minute match, though?
The next one? Yeah. 5 minutes and 35 seconds.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. So,
a 6-man match between Hiroshi Tenzan and Kojima and Hanma. Hanma is the guy that Damore was talking about as... is just kind of the cult figure there that kind of is the lovable loser.
Yes.
And he ended up getting the win in this match.
He got the Duke.
He got the Duke over the Bullet Club, Bad Luck Folly, Jeff Jarrett.
Did he not take the Bad Luck Folly?
I don't
know. No, he didn't take it?
No.
Who took it?
Nobody.
Okay, well, somebody had to take the fall.
Oh, yeah. Oh, who got pinned? I think that would have been Yujiro, didn't he? Didn't he get pinned?
I think the Japanese guy got pinned.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I think it was Yujiro, yeah.
Oh.
So, anyways, but Jeff Jarrett looked fine and everything, but...
somebody ate Karen Jarrett.
A new Karen Jarrett ate the old Karen, yeah. When you're an older woman, and I still fuck her, but she definitely put on some weight.
Yeah, you know what she said? A
significant amount. And,
you know what she said to Salad?
What?
Don't you fucking touch me.
Yeah. Don't fucking come near me.
She didn't say that about fried chicken.
No. Quite a bit of fat. And so, you know what? Dress in a way that makes you look attractive still without being in a super tight dress.
She was a very attractive woman still.
Yeah. If you have something like a suit jacket on, something that hides the fact, but if you have a really tight dress and you're kind of running a little bit and you get up on the ropes and your belly, we can see the belly fat jiggling. Not a good look.
No, you never see Mo get on the ropes.
No. But you can see my belly jack. Jiggling from almost anywhere.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, we got first front row tickets last time, and I think we could see that.
Yeah.
That show wasn't even on TV.
I know. So, anyways, that's. I just say that to Karen. You don't have to keep dressing that way.
Third match in.
You ended up with the Toro Yano.
Who?
And then of the three guys from Pro Wrestling Noah.
Right.
Mikey Nichols, Shane Haste.
Yeah.
Who are known as TKM as the tag team.
Yeah. And
over in Noah. And
they teamed with Mr. Fuji.
Marafuji. I love Marafuji. Yeah. So anyways, they beat Suzuki Gun, David Boy Smith Jr., Lance Archer, Shelton X, Benjamin, and Takashi Iizuka. It was a match.
It was a decent match. I guess there wasn't anything wrong with the match.
It was 5 minutes and 5 seconds.
Again, I was going to say, this was another relatively short match. I guess shorter than the Jeff Jarrett match, you're saying. And I thought it was maybe a little bit longer, but I guess not. And,
this is an 8-man match. That was a 6-man match. Yeah. That 6-man match, the big spot was Jeff Jarrett missing the going to use his guitar and missing.
Yeah.
And the crowd popped as he hit his own partner.
Yes.
Just popped like mad. And this didn't even have anything like that. Like, this was really about putting over Marufuji as a Naomichi Marufuji as a legend. And he did look awesome. He is a great wrestler, a legendary guy over there. And also about setting up Haste and Nichols against Killer Elite Squad of Archer and Smith. That's the story.
Showcasing them to the just, New Japan
just
audience.
Just giving you a tease. So yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just giving you a tease. But the Noah guys went over, and of course it had big, like the graphic was a big, you know, in the stadium on the Titantron.
Yeah.
Was a big, you know, pro wrestling Noah thing and everything like that. So interesting. So far, you mean you have ROH going over, you have pro wrestling Noah going over New Japan.
Yeah.
So definitely just a different feel, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not the invasion.
No. Then you had a very unique match, really physical. Very physical, very stiff, of course, as you expected. Two guys with legitimate MMA backgrounds. You got the Gracie Hunter, Kazushi Sakuraba, against Minoru Suzuki, of course, co-founder of the Pancreas, which led...
Pancreas.
Sorry.
Not your
what
pancreas.
Pancreas.
Fuck. You said your pancreas.
I know, I did.
Yeah.
I meant Pancreas, which, of course, is one of the founders to
Sakuraba,
to the martial arts.
Sakuraba, though, was the founder of Spleen. So, that's what this battle was about.
Pancreas.
The pancreas against the spleen.
But anyways, you see these
what's a more useless organ?
You know, these are Carl, well, it's Carl Gosch's protege versus Billy Robinson's protege.
Billy Robinson's protege. I thought that Stryker and Jim Ross had a lot of homework about this one.
Yes.
So I thought their commentary... it's not that their commentary in the previous two matches was bad.
Three.
It's just those were, the first one it was bad. Okay. So the next two, I'm saying.
Yeah.
It wasn't that it was bad, it was that they, it was a very North American style type WWF, if you want to call it 2004 style match. And they were fine with it. They might not have known all the things, but they just whatever. And
they had, you're right. They had absolutely done their homework, and it was a physical match. And
the
and
UWFI,
good,
yeah, they've
yeah,
done
good
their
ending,
own, and it was yeah, good ending. Yeah. Some of the slaps, I guess, were just like oh, shit.
Yeah, this was definitely it was a work shoot in many ways.
Yeah.
Like you know, there was definitely shoot moments with. Of what they were doing were really physical and beyond even worked pro physical stiff wrestling.
And this is where I come to learn that in New Japan Pro Wrestling you have a count of 20 to get back in the ring.
Yeah.
It was in this match, but yeah.
So then we moved on to...
And that was, we should say that Sakuraba lost.
Yes, he did, yeah.
He got choked out.
Yeah.
By the 3 million yen dream.
Yeah, and it makes sense because Minoru Suzuki is a current performer. He performs most events for New Japan, where Sakuraba is more of a special attraction type guy. So
right, okay.
So that's kind of you know why it makes sense for him to be the guy to go over. You know, he has Suzuki Gun with the Killer Elite Squad; those guys, that's his group.
Ah, okay,
right, and that's why Taka
Michinoku.
Thank you, was out there. Yeah. So you had after that you had Togi Makabe versus Tomohiro Ishii.
Yes.
For the singles match, it was a never open weight championship. The never open weight championship is kind of a belt that is the newest belt in New Japan. It was created to be a belt for newcomers to compete against.
Sorry,
and
so
then,
it's a closed weight category then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the weight category? It's a closed weight. So
it's
what
an, no, it's an open weight.
No, it's a never open weight. So it's closed. Never open.
Never open weight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's never open.
No.
It's closed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's an open there? Weight.
It's never open.
And it's just called the never.
Open weight.
Point is that it was designed for young guys to go after. And then, of course, you have these two veteran performer. Mm-hmm. One of them is a former, like, IWGP three-time champion. You know what I mean? Like, it's guys who... These aren't young guys. These are older guys, but... It became it's kind of a little bit more like a hardcore match then, though. Not, it's funny because the last match was a very stiff match and like this work shoot that was, I mean, a lot of brawling outside the ring and everything. This all stayed inside the ring, and yet was also felt like a work shoot, even though it was obviously just a work. But just like for your stiff Japanese strong style wrestling, this was it.
This was my favorite match on the show.
It might have been mine too. Like as far as, I mean, there's a couple of matches that I put at the same level of this, but boy, this was a really good match. And just because they were pounding each other, like legit just hitting each other with this Japanese strong style stiff shots.
You like it when guys pound each other.
And absolutely stiffly.
Yeah.
And they just kept going at it, pounding and pounding, stiff shots after stiff shots given to each other's faces.
Yeah.
And,
clubbing blows.
Yeah.
But I, you know why rectal I like this bleeding. One? The reason I like this this match the best is because you're right. There are matches we're going to get to that are of the same quality, I guess, in terms of, you know, if we're going to, I don't want to star rate them, but just in terms of, you know, that was awesome, this was awesome, this was awesome. But this was awesome, and it wasn't anything that you can see every day. Not that the other ones you can see every day, but in terms of the style, you're going to see an AJ Styles match. You're going to see AJ Styles have a lot of great matches in his career, and you have seen a lot of great
matches. Quite frankly, let's put it this way. The AJ Styles match, very good match.
Yeah.
But like you say, you see a lot like that. But put it this way. If we watch ROH Wrestling and watch Matt Sydal versus Jay Lethal, you're going to see that same style match.
Yes, you are.
And this was different, which was what good about it. And that was what was good about the previous match, too. The Sakuraba Suzuki match was a different type match than we usually see.
Yes, I guess that's the hybrid. Is it this never open weight title match was a combination of the Sakuraba match and of, say, the main event, in that it was on a quality standard of the main event and a style of the Sakuraba match. So
yeah, exactly.
It was just fantastic. They
really
just beat the fuck out of each other. I mean, what's his nuts, the old champion?
The guy who won?
No, who won?
Oh, Ishii.
Ishii lost.
Yeah.
And then who won?
Makabe.
Yeah, Makabe is your new champion, and Ishii was the old champion. And as soon, I'd never seen Ishii before. Yeah. As soon as Ishii walked out onto the ramp, I just looked at you and I said, there's a guy that will beat the fuck out of you.
You said, there's a guy you don't want to fuck with.
Yes.
Was your exact words. I was like, you know what? You're right. There is a guy. I said, I don't think you want to fuck with the other guy either, but you said, no, but the other guy looks like a pro wrestler to me. This guy just looks like a guy I'm seriously not fucked with.
If he was walking down the street, I would cross the street.
Yeah. Like, you'd be like, okay, I wouldn't want to accidentally bump into him and get pissed off at me.
That would just be...
Which is something WWE is really missing, right? And that's one of the things that's nice about an event like this.
And then he backed it up.
Yeah. Just, like I say, and this is a classic... This is the classic staff Japanese-style match... Japanese style match that gets over in front of the Japanese crowd with it's just about the warrior spirit. It's two guys who are just hitting each other as hard as they can, showing the warrior spirit neither one wants to give up. That's what historically the Japanese crowd loves more than anything. And this was a fine example of that. So this was really a highlight of the show for sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Great match. And then as we said, Makabe, your new never open weight champion.
Yeah, then he had a match that I wasn't as into as much. It went 13 minutes, this next match, with Kenny Omega, who has I love his look right now. Like, it's a great, great look. Like, he looks old, but other than that,
he's only like
31.
Yeah, I like his
great
entrance.
Like, very unique, very charismatic, great look, great hair.
To me, he takes off the sunglasses to have a match. I said to you, he looks like Dee Snider. He's got gray and black.
But that's just
permed hair, whatever it is. It's permed hair, and he's got an old looking face. Like the road has owned him.
Yeah, but he's only like 31, but he's been wrestling for like 15 years.
Yeah, I'm just saying, that kind of takes it away from me. And
well,
if we're watching HD, if this was a standard definition era, maybe he looks awesome.
Maybe for me, I love it because I haven't seen anybody else that looks like that, and I love. Not everybody having the same haircut, the same, you know, same trunks, the same look.
I don't hate the different look. I don't hate the look. I'm just saying his face looks really old, and unfortunately, I think That is just one of the things.
He looks older than he is, much older than he is. I'll give you that.
And
but yeah, the match itself was a good match. I mean,
great finish.
Taguchi has some good moves. The Young Bucks were involved pretty much throughout it.
Right.
But the end was just the pinning combination.
Yes.
At the end was spectacular.
Yes.
And so it was a good match.
Chair into a a Michinoku drivery kind of thing.
Yeah. Right before that was this six dragon suplex.
Snap dragon suplex.
It was just awesome. So it was a good match, but yeah.
And we have a new IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah. And then you had another match that was kind of much the same thing. The next match was for the IWGP Tag Team Championship. And Goto and Shibata defeated the Bullet Club of Gallows and Carl Anderson.
Yes.
And the thing about this one was, it's kind of the same thing, was I wasn't so much into it, but the last 5 minutes was great. Then they were just hitting these moves where you're like, oh, that could be the finisher, that could be the finisher.
Yeah.
But it was, at this point, one of the things that we were talking about that was like we were really loving was no bullshit. Match ends.
Yeah.
Guys get out of there. Next music starts. Go.
Yeah, the only video packages they did were for what, the final two matches? Everything else just exactly. And they had the setup really awesome where you entered in one way and you left another. So,
the guys could be leaving while the next guy's entering.
Exactly. Nobody would know. And you just keep going and going. And it was great. And even Jim Ross pointed it out.
It was a
quick style pace here.
But at kind of somewhere, I think, around this match or the last match where I went, okay, I could use, though, the little break. This is, that's one of the things is like, it's just on to the next match. There's no time to breathe. And sometimes that would have been nice. Just a moment here. And I think the little bit of burnout of just watching matches back to back started to happen to me, I think.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but do they not have a...
Can I correct you instead?
Sure. A intermission, normally.
Because I do not intend to erect you.
Do they not... we could put it, maybe erect a statue of me in my honor. Put it on your lawn.
I'm going to put one of those little trolls on my lawn, and that will be a statue of you. All right, what were we saying?
I didn't say my penis. I just said, don't they normally have an intermission?
Oh, hair. They normally have an intermission, and they did not have that because they were on the North American pay-per-view. Yeah. They took out the intermission. Because they have to stay to the 4 hours, and they'll often go even over that on an event like this.
Right.
So, but yeah.
I'm just wondering if that's,
was part of it. I'm sure that was part of it. But, Anyway, so good match again. Really good last 5 minutes of that match.
Yes.
Then you had a very fine match between Styles and Naito.
I did say to you, though, with their entrance, I said, with Anderson and Gallows, I said, there's the ascension.
Yeah.
There's a tag team that... If you're going to do a big brooding, here comes the Axe, here comes the Smasher, what a rush. Brooding, badass tag team. These guys have the look.
They have the look and the rustling and the persona and all that.
Yeah, they got the whole package.
Whereas, to me, the Ascension are two guys that feel like they're trying to be a gimmick. Yeah. Trying to perform
a
gimmick.
Especially with that paint.
Yeah, they're acting like wrestlers who this is their gimmick.
They're pretend badasses.
Yeah, whereas this is more like couple badasses. They feel much, it's much more organic who they are.
Yes.
So that's definitely agree. So anyway, Styles defeats Naito.
Yes.
Very good match again. AJ Styles match. Styles clash off the second rope is the pin. And Naito did not tuck his chin. He went out of his way. I'm not tucking my chin. So no broken necks.
I understand that.
A good match. Not one I'm going to overly remember, just one of those ones where you will go, okay, good 3.5-star match.
Yes, a very good match, a 3.75-star type match, right? You had a great AJ Styles match, you like what you've come to expect out of AJ Styles, and especially with Naito that can go as well, right?
Yeah.
So it's basically, if you got a guy
Naito's very smooth and AJ's very smooth, both of them very just smooth and athletic and agile. So they play off each other really well.
And the story that JR told was that this is putting AJ back on the map, right? This is his thing, which makes sense because he never got a return match when he lost the belt. So that gives him the win that can allow him to do that.
So now, he can set up now to be the number one contender going forward.
I don't know the number one contender. I understand that his next opponent is going to be Hideo. Well, he's beaten Naito.
Huh. Hideo.
So now he has to beat... Naito. Maybe it's Hideo Itami.
That's what I'm saying. Hideo.
There you go.
Anyways, I'd pay to see that match.
Yeah.
Styles versus... I don't think
so. So the story here is that AJ Styles is going to be in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, you just beat me to it. You fucking just beat me to it without a setup, unfortunately. You fucking... Now explain that.
Well, fuck. This was where Matt Stryker said that it's a great time to be a wrestling fan. Because now with Global Force Wrestling, we've got New Japan Pro Wrestling. JR started because JR said that AJ Styles is the best homegrown talent that TNA has ever produced, start to finish.
True.
And that is true.
Yeah.
And then Stryker said, and TNA about to embark on a great new journey.
On Destination America.
Did he say that even?
Yes, he mentioned Destination America.
So that's bullshit line number one.
Well, not of the night. But that was the highest ranking bullshit.
That's what I mean by number one. You're having a Letterman top 10 list, it's like, and the number one bullshit thing that Matt Stryker said today.
That's right. The thing is we talked about how on this last show that we did last week, how they've now put their tickets on sale for their TV tapings, for their first TV tapings for Destination America,
yes,
on sale at 50% off. So at that point, I mean, we just kind of left it at that because that's all the information we had. That's a week ago. Now we can say that at 50% off, they sold like none of those. Like, it's not like it went 50% off and people went, well, now I'll go. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you put them at 50% off and you have sold like 10.
Yeah.
You're done.
Hashtag nobody gives a fuck.
Like, it's done. You can't say it's an exciting new venture. It's an adventure where you're going to see like 1/5 your audience and nobody's going to pay for it live and it's done.
Yeah. And then he's saying, he's like, it's an exciting time with the new destination with Global Force Wrestling, with Lucha Underground, with
WWE,
NXT, WWE, Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
And it was like, fuck, it's a great time to be a wrestling fan. And he said something, but we're in a boom period or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, fuck off. Like, this is, as I said, when we talked to Scott D'Amore and he told us all about Matt Stryker's love for New Japan Pro Wrestling, and it's fine. I don't think we were able to articulate the fact that, and you had said we thought that he became very overly produced.
Yes.
And it turns out that he hasn't shook that for, like, you know, if that's just how he feels announcing, if he's been brainwashed and programmed to do that for the rest of his life, and he's never going to change from that. Or maybe it's him all along, which is now where I'm leaning in,
that he just has a bullshit level.
Yeah.
That he says stuff that just, you go, what? That's not true, or what? Wow. That makes no sense. It's just a bullshit level.
It was very clear whether this was an intended production meeting decision, or if it was Jim Ross and Matt Stryker, or if it was just Jim Ross and Matt Stryker was playing along, that, they were counting on a lot of WWF, a lot of people that don't watch New Japan Wrestling or not a hardcore wrestling fan that has seen a Ring of Honor, seen other things, buying this. And the only people that Jim Ross would compare to were WWF or former in the Attitude Era star WWF guys.
Current or Attitude Era guys. Yeah.
Kurt Angle, Randy Orton, you know.
Like shade, just, that moves shades of Randy Orton.
Yeah.
The 5-star frog splash, like RVD. The
Well, even the high and low flow. Well, that's a frog splash.
Yeah.
Right?
And there was a lot of digs at WWE. Like, oh, this is pro wrestling at its finest. No, you know, or just other ones.
Sure.
Obviously, there was Matt Stryker talking about, we talk about, like, he was putting over ROH and all these ones. He put over all the places that you were promoted this show. Like, he mentions, Pro Wrestling Insider and Mike Johnson and PW Torch and all this different stuff. But no mention of The Observer and Dave Meltzer, right?
Yeah, because they buried him.
Yeah.
And that's where, they, again, just became petty and it's hard to...
He talked about CM Punk. He took a shot at him.
Yes, yes. Something about MMA guys. I applaud these MMA guys because I know they're gonna get their tail kicked and they go there anyway or something.
Yeah, yeah. Or pro wrestling. Some of them know they're gonna get their tail kicked, but they'll go there anyways. But
yeah,
yeah. And just, it was like a little thing. Like I said, a lot of shots at just that. This is what wrestling's supposed to be. Blah blah blah.
Fine. I don't mind those shots.
Yeah. Matt Stryker.
He was the Matt Stryker that we feared he would be. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Like I was willing to give him a chance.
Me too.
Scott D'Amore made me want to give him more of a chance, even.
Yeah.
Then I thought, you know what? I'm going to give him a chance. What they're saying is probably true, but I'm going to give him a chance. And D'Amore had
But there was many times on the show. But there was many times on the show where JR was scolding him. The most
that was funny.
The most noticeable one was during the Kenny Omega match.
Yes.
Where he mentioned that Kenny Omega said he would come back to be to pursue the belt with honor, and then he immediately turned around and joined the Bullet Club and attacked.
And he swerved us.
And he said, yeah, and he said, and it was a swerve. And JR goes, well, personally, I don't know what a swerve is. I've never been swerved in my life.
He goes,
he lied to us.
He goes, at first he goes, well, he lied to him. He goes, you say swerve. I don't know what a swerve is. I've never been swerved before in my life. I've been lied to in my life. He lied to him.
Yeah, exactly. So he's like,
even Stryker's like, okay.
Yeah. He's like basically like publicly scolding him. Don't go too inside. Don't use those terms. And he did that many times. But this was the most like, fuck off, quit being Matt Stryker. Because when Matt Stryker said that, I went, that's Matt Stryker being Matt Stryker.
Yes.
And it was annoying. Yeah. And I was so happy when JR did that.
Yeah.
But he did it a few other times too. But that's the most obvious example.
But also that speaks to the fact that, and that's a great point. And that's something that gets lost. But when he said, you know, he swerved us, I didn't even think about it.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, I saw Sting cut that promo to Flair in the 1995 Nitro. You know, if you're swerving me, don't you swerve me. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And we use the term, it didn't even register to me. It's a great point from Jim Ross.
It is.
That he makes. But I feel, personally, that was an unnecessary point to Jim Ross. That you don't have to do that on the air. You could just let that go, and no one's even going to remember it. But now we remember it.
Now we remember it. You know what? Maybe Matt Stryker now will remember it, too.
No.
Matt Stryker.
He obviously didn't, because he kept fucking doing it during the show.
That's true.
So, well, who gives a fuck
then? Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I loved it.
I thought awesome. It was hilarious. Don't get me wrong. I just don't. I mean, if I'm Jim Ross, I just let it go. We just move on. Like, yeah. What a fuck, right? But I mean, yeah, Matt Stryker was Matt Stryker. And then what's the... So that was AJ beating Naito. And then we had the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah, this might actually have turned out to be my best match. Because this was Nakamura versus Ibushi. And it went 20 minutes.
Shinsuke.
Yeah. Versus Kota Ibushi. Really good match, especially
Kota Beware?
Especially the last 7-8 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Like, the intensity level amped right up.
How long was it?
It felt
match?
Like only 20 minutes.
Okay.
And it felt very much like a...
That's about right, yeah.
Yeah. No, it felt very much like a fight at the end.
Yes.
You know, Bushi in many ways was carrying much of the match.
I thought
to the champion.
One throughout the whole match made me think that it was the most personal issue that they had. It was a guy that, like, he was mocking Nakamura.
Yes, he was,
early
yeah.
on a few times. During the match, and then Nakamura, like, his spots.
Well, it was it was like a young guy saying to the other guy, I'm going to take your spot. Like, right in your face. Like, I'm going to take your spot. You can't do anything to stop me.
Not your liver spot. Not your dog spot. But your spot.
But your title, and then therefore your spot. Yeah. And I'm going to be the guy who's the face of the... Because Nakamura is possibly the most over guy in the company. Probably is. And he's a great... Like I mentioned before, like, he's very charismatic, mm-hmm. and the combination of the intensity towards the end with his charisma, and I mentioned it, and he's like a Dean Ambrose with a slightly more effeminate bent, is how I described him, but he's in many ways that just kind of out there personality of you don't know what he's going to do next. He's the lunatic fringe concept.
I looked at him and I thought that I would never ever forget the name of Nakamura.
But he's much more, just does, like, he's much more, like, he's just crazy.
Yeah,
whereas
that's true.
Goldust
that's
is
true.
much more.
But he is effeminate. He's effeminate and there's crazy.
But it's much, much like, if you saw more of him, you would see it more, I think, than just this one match. There's definitely a certain, like I say, Dean Ambrose ish type of he's just a little bit unhinged and isn't going to do quite what you expect him to do.
Here you go. Then here's his new name, Queen Ambrose.
I love it.
There you go.
I love it. But he was awesome, and it was a great. And it's like Ross is explaining, like, and he's young, you know, and he's I think he's in his early 30s or mid 30s or something like that. He's still got a lot of years left.
Yeah.
He's very charismatic, and yet he's a. And they even mentioned he's a huge fan of Michael Jackson and Freddie Mercury.
And Freddie Mercury.
But he is one badass. And that's the thing. He's a badass.
Yes.
So this was great. And the ending I liked too. He got down on him. He got down on his knees.
Did he?
To the kid. Yeah, you were kind of in the bathroom, I think, at that point. Got down. Kind of like on his knees. He looked at him. And they put out and they gave each other the fist bump. So it was like, you know what? It's like that old thing. Like, okay, you brought your best to me. You're not quite there yet. You're still too young. You're still getting your experience.
Yeah.
But you brought it. Someday it will be yours. It's just not today.
Yeah.
And I noticed, is much the same story of the main event.
I was going to say, that's the story of the main event. And I find that that's actually something that the
Japanese main event was a little bit more.
I find
the ending was different.
Japanese wrestling does that so very well, though, too. In that when it comes to, like, we watch WWF. It's always, they build a guy up to the match. If he doesn't win the match, then he kind of goes back down the card. Or, you know, he was the challenger for a while, and then he gets his run, and then he's done. Whereas with this, there's very few times in history of WWF that you can really think of a guy kind of rubbing it up, just not your time yet, boy. And then you wait, and you stay there, and then you get your chance.
Then you get your chance.
Like, I can't even really think of one.
Well, Shawn Michaels the first time.
Kind of, but it wasn't about, but he didn't fight. He fought Diesel. He didn't fight the older.
Well, I mean, I was thinking first he fought Brett, and then, you know.
Nah, but that was a one-off, barely promoted deal.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
There's never been that kind of rise up story. It's just not your time yet, kid.
I think it was probably, maybe it happened with Sting, I guess, and Ric Flair.
Maybe, you know,
but that would be, again, not WWE. Yes, you're right, it's not really something you see.
Sting in North America, though, is probably the best example.
And even he didn't have the longest chase.
No.
But yeah, I mean, it's not something you typically see. You're right here. There you can get your chance. The other thing is, it could take a while before you get a chance again in Japan. But you'll probably get it again if you stay over. But I mean, they talk about over the last 3 years, only over the last 4 years, I think it says, they said, only three men have held the title, the world title, and that's AJ, Okada, and Takanashi.
Yeah.
Tanahashi, sorry, what did I say?
Takanashi.
Ah, oh, fuck.
Yeah. But I think that
Tanahashi,
also...
Yeah.
See, but I... And that's, you know, that's... They said that, but also Matt Stryker said that, so I don't even know if that's true.
I think it was JR that said it, actually.
No, I know.
But yeah, I mean, it's... But again, it is... Like, yeah, it's not your time yet. But also another thing, it's
my time.
You see this on almost all the matches. You win or you lose, it matters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just, I'm going to come out and cut a promo smiling the next night. Titles come and titles go. Still the thing that John Cena's ever said that pissed me off the most.
Yeah.
Titles come and titles go.
Yeah.
No. Like, it's supposed to matter. And that, and the fact that the people sell the beatings, or the, you know, they get
the
ice packs and all this different stuff. Just the stuff that's like, we've been in a fight.
Yeah.
Instead of just get up and slap the hands.
And a couple of those matches, they were in a fight.
Yeah, that's true.
But,
true.
I mean, then, so that was the, so the Intercontinental title match. Again, so far, again, this show has built really well. Hot opener, stuff in the middle, a memorable match. Smack dab in the middle, and then you had a bring down match, a different style, and then the quality. You know, you get the AJ match, then you had this Intercontinental match, and then now you've got the main event,
which was also terrific. Like 31 minutes, you know. Tanahashi defeated Okada. That brings their personal competition against each other to 3-3-1. Yes. So, you know.
So you won a game 7, you said.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah, well, a game 8, but yeah, a deciding game, a rubber match.
Yes.
And Tanahashi, who is 10 years older, he's 37 compared to 27 of Okada. And he said, you know, basically when the match is over, and it was a terrific match back and forth. Okada carried much of the match again.
Yeah.
And then Tanahashi just wouldn't quit, though, as the champion, and kept fighting on until he... And then at the end, he started hitting all these crazy moves where he kept going, that's it.
Amazing dive.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my god.
That dive from like they in this.
Well, as soon as before he even did it, my first thought was that ECW dive of Rob Van Dam where he went into the third row.
The flip.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was That was mine too, and it was just like because that was like in the Japanese they had the two barricades and it was far. I don't know how far it was far. And he dove with like a frog splash crossbody.
Yeah,
deal, and just fantastic.
It was just as soon as he was doing it, I was like, "Oh, don't do it!" And you went, "No, do it, do it,
yeah, do it!"
I'm like, "I don't want to see a guy die." And you're like, "It'd be worth it. It'd be cool.
Pay $30 for this."
but really tremendous. Really great match. And like I say, and then at the end, he's hitting all these moves, but Okada's just kicking out until eventually he couldn't anymore.
Yeah.
So he carried most of the match, and then when the other guy hits moves, though, his were just more devastating. And
Okada has the Rainmaker.
Yes.
And Tanahashi kicked out of the
first Rainmaker. Time ever that anybody's ever kicked out of his finisher. The most protected move in all of professional wrestling is this move. Somebody kicked out of it for the first time, and Tanahashi's never kicked out of it before.
This is someone kicking out of the pedigree.
Yeah. Yeah, when that never happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah.
Or like kicking out of the leg drop.
Yeah,
or
really. Leg drop. How many times did that happen, right? I mean,
Sid once because Papa Shango was late. You know?
Well, and Warrior.
Oh, okay, Warrior. Yeah,
that's
actually
the
Warrior,
one I was thinking.
Warrior's the one that before that we hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
And like, so it was special.
Yeah.
So that was special. It was a great match.
And
again, then the end, they were really selling it. Okada was gone, you know, tears.
He's in tears. But that's when Tanahashi turned heel.
Kind of. Because
he cut that promo.
Yeah, he cut a promo, apparently. He
all
said something
about Okada's mother.
No, I don't think that's what.
Oh.
That was your translation?
Oh.
But through the match, actually, in many ways, Okada was playing subtle heel. Because they're two huge baby faces. But he was playing subtle heel.
He's playing the young guy trying to just take it, right?
Yeah, a little cocky, a little, you know, just a subtle heel.
Yeah.
Not full heel like Ibushi was playing, really.
No.
No. But subtle heel. But, you know, after the match, Tanahashi said, it's not, I know you want it, but I'm proud to say it's not your time yet. It's still my time.
You're not the ace.
I'm proud to be the ace of this company, basically. Yeah. And, I mean, when it was over, like I say, I mean, I really would have liked to actually have, I kind of missed not having one or two promos or one or two backstage skits or a couple more. Maybe.
Well, that's my
just something that was pure entertainment because it is like match after match, and it's almost an endurance test.
Yeah.
To you're seeing all these matches, and even though they're great, they start to run together, like the tag match and whatever, which I remember the last five minutes, but I can't remember the opening part.
Let's go.
Because it just kind of, it's like, it's so quick and it's so much wrestling.
But
it's a 4 hour, 4 hours is probably too damn long. And certainly 4 hours where it's probably like 3.5 hours of wrestling is a bit of an endurance
test.
I'll
be honest,
though. I kind of like WWE's approach some degree.
I'll be honest with you, though. I was not bored for that. You thought it was 4 hours too damn long? I didn't really feel like it was 4 hours. I thought, especially the last hour, was the main event.
I think two or three of the matches, I didn't hold my attention. Don't get me wrong.
But they were 5 minutes long.
It was probably the tag title and the junior heavyweight title, which are the ones which they were both about 13 minutes, and they're the ones which I think held my attention. They were right in the middle,
okay,
a little less.
Sure, maybe. Okay.
And I think that's where it's like, okay, the WWE approach, they go too far when they put on a 3 hour show with 30 minutes of wrestling,
yes,
or 40 minutes of wrestling like we've seen lately. But maybe me, I'm not saying this that they should change this. It's for me. It'd be a little.
New Japan is. You don't want them to change for you?
No, I don't.
Change the Japanese style of wrestling for you?
But I say the same thing. I say the same thing with ROH.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know.
Yes.
Like it could be just sometimes you do want something that's like, okay, let's take a break, bathroom break, or it's time to. It's just something that's not as heavy, not as something that's as intense. Just take a little step back and then come back to it. And
this is actually a first, though, for you. The first time that you didn't want something so heavy.
Your mom likes something heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chicken. But I like that. I will say this, though, that in terms of the
WWE shows are 3 hours, and very rarely do we watch a WWE pay-per-view where we aren't on our phone doing shit a lot more than we did on this one.
Oh, yeah.
And we picked up our phone and tweeted a little bit or checked our messages or whatever.
Sure.
But I think maybe for like 5-10 minutes of the full 3 hours.
I basically
usually for a WWE show, I'd say like almost half of it we're spending on our phones.
Yeah, exactly.
You just get so like, and it's only 3 hours.
Yeah.
And so it's too much like of nothing matters and bullshit. Whereas this to me, I think the intermission thing's probably right. Just like would have been a nice to have a moment where it's like, okay, just have a laugh, breathe a little bit, then get back to it.
Yeah, where's the comedy?
Well, and there's no comedies, there's no promos. But again,
I will say though,
a little bit is okay occasionally.
And here's the thing, in terms of the, let's say, the Global Force Wrestling production of this.
Yeah.
Yes, I liked, okay, go, match. I didn't have so much of a problem with that. And then we've talked about the announcing. You know, the announcing is, as I said, is about what
JR had fun. I could tell that, but
about what I expected. Yeah. JR got really. I said to you when he did the dive, he didn't care. I'm like, I don't know if he should ever do this again. And then by the end of the match, he was full on Tyson and Austin, Stone Cold mode.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it was like rock and awesome. Where he was into it. The crowd was into it. He was feeding off the crowd, and he was the best announcer in the world as we know he is.
Yeah.
And so it's fine. But the rest of the show, that's fine. Shitty commentary is everywhere.
It's better than shitty commentary.
So this is better.
It's still better commentary than I get, you know.
Yeah, anywhere. Yeah.
Anywhere.
So that's fine. It could have been better, sure, but it was great. It was still fine, right?
One of the things that I think they really lacked was there was times when guys cut promos in the ring after their match.
Yes.
And Mauro Ranallo when Pride used to have this, where guys would cut a promo in the ring after the match. And guys do that. They don't get interviewed like Joe Rogan and Pride. They used to just pick the mic and cut a promo. And he would tell us what they're saying. I don't know if it's that Mauro speaks Japanese. If he speaks Japanese, that's fine. If he doesn't speak Japanese, he had somebody who speaks Japanese telling in his ear pierce, telling him what's being said so he could
translate.
It for us. And that was something they needed absolutely, as well as subtitles to those two packages.
That's where I was getting. They had subtitles.
Yeah.
They were just in Japanese.
Yeah, they had Japanese subtitles in this Japanese show. Or if it wasn't Japanese, who knows what it was. But it was weird to see these subtitles in, obviously, some sort of Asian language when they're speaking Japanese. And I know they just grabbed the feed off New Japan and put in the American announcers.
Yeah.
And I cut out some of the music that they didn't have rights to, just muted it a little bit.
Yeah, like the Red Dragon music, especially.
Just toned it down, yeah. But as far as, like, yeah, I mean, that was really... That really hurt it. Like,
that's something you couldn't have said to me.
That's not something that's difficult.
You couldn't have gone to these guys a week before and said, you got these video packages, can we see them so we can put some American... some English subtitles in them, and you
or find some way to make our own packages that we can play over them when you're doing yours.
I can't see anybody saying no to that, right?
Yeah,
so that's a criticism, but I mean, that's again, it wasn't a major criticism. It was just they did these things, and it would have been nice to know what they're saying.
I think it would. I think that last pack. I think both the packages were probably really, really good. Would have got me super excited for the show if I had been able to understand what they're saying.
Yeah, they looked really good. I said to you, like, even the beginning, the Okada Tanahashi one reminded me of the Austin Brett WrestleMania 12 Iron Man match stuff. And I thought, this looks really cool.
And as soon as you saw Tanahashi, you're like, well, that guy just looks like a champion.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. So. Yeah, this was great, and I really hope they do it again. But otherwise, I'll keep watching my New Japan World. I can't wait. Mauro Ranallo and Jock Barnett are
going to do English.
Do some English on that. That'll be great.
So then that means I'll get it.
Yeah, you won't watch it though, because you'll be watching Tuesday Night Titans.
That's true. We just saw Greg the Hammer Valentine's wife.
Yes, that was crazy. Julie Valentine. Yeah.
Oh, great shit.
So a couple other quick notes.
Christian, on an offhand remark made by Paul Heyman, Christian, too many concussions, is now officially retired.
Yes.
So he's done from the ring.
And we knew it. We just hadn't had any official word.
Official word, yeah.
Yeah, we knew that the WWE considered him retired was kind of the last thing that we heard. But no official word. No chance for him to cut his promo, but... I mean, obviously he's not going. I would say within 2 or 3 years, I think we'll see him in the Hall of Fame. And that's where he'll get his chance.
Maybe.
And I wouldn't be surprised. You'll probably see some sort of. I mean, we already saw the rivalries this week on the network is Hardy Boys versus Edge and Christian. Maybe there'll be some sort of DVD or some sort of documentary on the network. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a network documentary. I think there'll be something for him.
I don't think there'll be anything for Christian. I think there'll be really something.
But he will be.
Christian.
He'll be. He's going in the Hall of Fame. It's just a matter of when.
I don't even know that he is.
Well, of course he is.
What do you mean, of course he is?
Christian? Of course he is.
I don't know.
He held so many titles, and he held so many titles.
He has a lot of titles.
Including some major titles.
Oh, yeah.
He's in so many major matches. He's a friend of Edge, and he's still within the company. He's doing the stuff like this guest hosting, doing the SmackDown Reaching Awesomeness.
Maybe.
He's still around. He'll be in.
A couple years, maybe. I don't know.
He'll be in. Two, 3 years.
I say it may be 5, 6. Yeah. There's a lot more guys. JBL's not in.
JBL's not in. It's actually... I mean, Edge is like, as soon as he's retired, one year later, he's in.
Yeah, that was
kind
of
And Christian is not that guy. I know they don't think to themselves, hey, we don't want to assault Christian by not putting him in right away. They could give a fuck.
That's what I'm saying. So there's, and I know you're not saying that he's a headline guy. He's your Ron Simmons type guy.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
But I mean, it's still.
He'll be going in. Just a matter of when.
If you know what? If he does, I think fine. But if he doesn't,
well, he will. They're all going in.
Well,
fucking everybody's going in.
Well, I don't know about that yet. Again, we got lots of guys.
Oh, yeah. Lex Luger isn't, but everybody else
we
is
got,
going.
We don't have the British Bulldogs in.
Not going in.
See,
it's different.
It's not different.
Yeah, it is. One guy's dead. The other guy's a cripple. Mm. This is Christian. He's just he's fine.
Yeah. I mean, there's still lots of guys that aren't in. I mean, yeah, sure, a lot of them are dead, but those are most of the guys. Like your Rick Rudes or your Big Boss Man or your all these guys that think of an eight. Brutus Beefcake isn't in,
Please, Christian's a much bigger star than Brutus Beefcake. It's not even, you can't compare the two.
Well, you can't really compare Brutus Beefcake and Christian. I'm just saying. Christian's not in. I bet you Hillbilly Jim's gonna probably go in before Christian, and that's fine. But King Kong Bundy's not in.
King,
you headlined WrestleMania 2.
Okay,
and he squashed the little beaver.
King Kong Bundy's the first guy you've said that I'm like, okay, I can see him going before Christian. Hillbilly Jim is like, okay, he was there for a year or something like that, 2 years.
I don't know. 3 years.
Okay, he was there for 3 years. Yeah.
Works in the office.
He had a memorable song.
He really did.
That's like
Slick hasn't gone in.
Yeah.
Edge and Christian referenced Slick, actually. That was great.
Right, yeah.
But no, I mean, there's guys that still...
There's not many. Not ahead of Christian. Christian from that era, whatever. You'll be in shortly.
It was the Dudleys,
Yeah. That's likely to happen.
Well, I'm just saying.
They didn't even... When they did the rivalries, they didn't even mention...
I know, that was awesome. That was awesome. It was Edge and Christian against the Hardy Boys.
Yeah. Key element missing in that rivalry.
Yes. Kevin Nash, inducted by his son.
Who will then perform a Hurricanrana on him as a counter to the chokeslam.
You got your Undertakers, you got your Stings, you got...
There's a couple headliners.
Those are some headliners. So, yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Kurt Angle.
He'll go in someday, but...
Right. Probably before Christian.
I don't know about that. He has signed a new 2-year contract with TNA, so...
Which is great, because TNA...
So he'll be available in about 4
months. Yeah, in about 4 months, he'll be good to go.
Yeah. All right, so... But we'll probably talk more about Christian's career in
an upcoming show, which is really good. But you wanted to talk about the Ass and Chum.
Yeah,
we've
just...
We've got to mention the Ascension made their debut beating Miz and Mizdow.
Kind of in a strange way to me.
Yeah.
Are they baby face? Are they supposed to be baby face or heels?
Well, if a tree falls,
yeah,
and nobody gives a fuck.
They're probably not going to get over. Yet I still think the WWE is going to push them. I think we're going to see them versus the Usos at WrestleMania.
Yeah,
and I think that I'm really looking forward to that. Only because I want to see how good are the Usos. Can the Usos carry these guys? Because the Usos always have a terrific match.
Yeah,
if the Usos can carry them to a terrific match,
yeah,
then my respect level even goes to another level
on
those guys.
That's very true. That's very true. And we were talking about what the possibilities was going to be. Multiple man match, blah, 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 right? And it's like, who...
It's possible, but...
Who's left? Like, I mean, it's the Matadors know. The Matadors are not WrestleMania. Miz and Mizdow won't be together. Stardust and Goldust just seems kind of outdated and antiquated to me. And are there any other teams?
I don't think so.
So there you go.
I mean, and that's,
are there again, any other teams? Though? Really, I honestly
don't think so. Mizdow is, yeah, like... Yeah, it's again, it's...
I mean...
We talk about this all the time, the tag team division. They build it up, and then as soon as they have it built up to the point where, okay, now you can do something with it, now... Take your time in the next couple of years and do something with it. They tear it right back down. And then they have to build it back up. And then as soon as they get to that point, they tear it down. So it'll be to like three teams. Then they'll get up to eight teams. There'll be eight teams for a week and a half. And then they'll be back down to three teams.
And then they'll...
Maybe, I don't know.
We have Cesaro and Kid.
Yeah, who tagged together on SmackDown. But that angle very much looked to me like it was taken apart for the Cesaro angle on Raw. So I don't know where they're going with it.
Used the tandem finisher.
It looks very much like Titus O'Neil is going to be getting a new singles push. Yeah.
At least
a main event.
So not really.
So maybe not really. Yeah. So I mean, I don't know. Slater, Gator.
So when you say push, you mean?
I mean, he could get pushed up to the point where he might challenge for a U.S. title.
Right. Right. On main event.
Maybe.
Great.
Yeah, but I mean, it does look like. I mean, kind of what they're doing on main event makes it look like Slater Gator's done. And who knows? I don't know if they're is Gator Slater going to be on TV with... is he Slater after these latest accusations or whatever?
I don't know.
Has he been on TV since?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to wonder.
I'm trying to think of him. I can't think of him.
No, yeah. I don't think so. It's probably one of those just like, well, you're not very important anyway, so
yeah.
We'll keep you off for a while. It's like Nash, right? All this stuff. Nash gets pulled from... What was he supposed to be at? The Raw.
Yeah.
Go Home Raw. They have Raw Reunion.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be the NWO being there. And so Nash was pulled from that. Who knows if he's still going to be. But it did really, you know, strike as like, we're going to lay low.
Just lay low. Yeah, exactly. Wait till the heat dies down.
Yeah. We'll bring it back. But, I mean, there's no clamoring to bring. There's more clamoring to bring Kevin Nash in than there is Keith Slater, quite frankly.
Yeah.
So, it's... I mean, there's lots of guys. I mean, we looked at some guys. I mean, I still... You've got more teams, really, in NXT than you do on the main roster, right? So,
yeah, exactly.
And hell, I just...
Heck.
Fuck. I would just...
Fudge.
I mean, talk about main event. Bray Wyatt beats Eric Rowan.
Yeah, good fucking job. Nobody apparently cares.
Yeah.
No. Good job with that. You guys haven't fucked up
the
breakup of the Wyatt family at all.
Well, and again, I just put Harper and Rowan back together.
Yeah, you fucked
just
it up.
Might as well just put them back together.
Yeah.
And then maybe you've got an ability to do a three-team match or something, Ascension. But if they are going to look to put the Ascension over... Then the Ascension would win
a
one-on-one.
It's not even that I think the Ascension... I think the Ascension are kind of... I think they're... It's like, oh, this is Hunter's creation. They're brought up from NXT. And it's going to be like... They invested in them a long time in NXT.
Yeah.
Are they ready? Or should they come up? No. Should they come up? No. But they're going to come up because they were champions for a long time.
Should they come up? Yes. Because...
From the perspective of they need a team?
No,
yes.
No, not even that. Just bring them up. If they ain't ready now, they ain't ever going to be ready. We wish you well in your future endeavors.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You know
but
what
as
mean?
Far as
Get
should we bring
home.
You up over three quarters of the talent down there? No.
But
that's what I'm saying. But I hear what you're saying. But I'm just saying I get the feeling they're going to be behind them and give them a shot, give them a chance at the titles, whether they're over or not. And if they don't get over at that point, like you say, then...
But the thing, I mean, I think you're right. They're Hunter's creation. And Hunter has said that if anybody is going to kill my creation, it's going to be me.
Mm-hmm.
And the NWO.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, and now Nash is out. So he's not going to kill him.
Yeah, there you go.
So, unless he brings in Virgil.
Yeah.
But, and Scott Norton.
Mm-hmm.
But I was looking...
Scott Norton would still kick ass.
He would. But I think... The other part with the NXT and to that point is it looks like Sami Zayn's got another year down.
Yeah.
In NXT. He's got a year's worth of storylines apparently already built for him.
Yeah.
with Kevin Owens and Neville and such. So they're gonna drag that out for a while, and which I'm fine with. I mean, bring Zayn up. You know, I'm a fan of. Would I want to see Sami Zayn on the main roster? Yes. But am I afraid what they're going to do with him? Yes.
Yes.
So might as well watch him in NXT. Be great.
But again, would I like to see that title, NXT title, defended? Maybe in a three-way at
WrestleMania.
WrestleMania. Yes, I would. That would be great.
Yes.
But the other thing, and I said this before, I said one of the fresh storylines for the Royal Rumble is a guy you've never debuted, nobody's ever seen, hasn't had a video package,
right,
coming in as an underdog and winning it.
Yeah.
And Zayn would be the perfect guy to do that with. Again, could it fail? Sure.
Yeah.
But you don't know. It's new, and it doesn't matter so much in this day and age. I would keep him down there for one more year. I wouldn't mention him. And then suddenly, I'd have him show up at the Royal Rumble and win it. And I think that would be interesting to see if that gets over the crowd, if that works. It might fail, but it might work. We don't know because we've never seen a story like that.
Made me giggle that on Raw, Edge was wearing a Sami Zayn t-shirt.
That was pretty great.
Yeah. He had a jacket on, too. So you couldn't really, I mean, he wasn't flashing that was it for the world to see. But yeah, it was one of them. It was pretty funny.
But we had one other thing, didn't we?
No. It's just Ascension and Christian.
Okay. Oh, yeah, no, the network is going to be in
England. Oh, yes, the United Kingdom will be getting network on January 19th, apparently. There was a video by Vince McMahon on the WWE website.
So I'm interested to know what it is, the details that had to be worked out and that were worked out to make this go, because does this work with, what is it, Sky Sports and all that shit?
I'm also interested to know...
will it matter?
Is it real?
Yeah.
No, I mean, they've done that. You know, apparently,
will it add them 10,000 new people?
As I wrote on Twitter, it's for realsies. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, yeah. Will it be another 15,000 people subscribers to the network? Probably.
Yeah.
Because everybody's already subscribed.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So you'll get up to, everybody who wants to. So you'll get up to, for the year, averaging probably about, now you'll add 15,000 people, so you'll get up to 615 for the year.
Yeah. And then the road to the WrestleMania will start it, right? So
yeah, but you'll peak at about 900,000 during WrestleMania. You'll have about Survivor Series next year about 400,000. It'll average out to about 600.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And then they'll give away a free month.
Yeah, and 100,000 people will still pay for it.
Exactly. That's the best business decision they may have made. We'll give the network free for a month, and then twice as, or 10 times as many people will order it on pay-per-view.
Yeah. Seriously, if you hadn't given it away for that, you probably would have had 125,000 buys.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
hilarious. Crazy.
All right, let's get the fuck out of here.
Let us get the fuck out of here. Of course, we've got Raw tomorrow, and then...
what?
Raw tomorrow with the return. The 30-minute promo to open the show with Hunter and Stephanie.
Only 30?
Well...
You're underestimating. What's
the
over-under?
And there'll be commercials.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be great.
Nope.
Start with the vigilante sting. But we'll see. We'll see what's going to happen. Said anybody else enter into the Rumble next sort of...
Randy Orton will be entered.
Chapter. Well, that's the thing, right? Is now you get Orton in. And not that he's going to win, but that'll give you another guy to, you know, to do something, right? So, anyway, that is going to do it for yet another edition of We Talk Wrestling. You can follow us at We Talk Wrestling on Twitter. Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling or WeTalkWrestling.com on the World Wide Web. And you can listen to our show on iTunes by subscribing, Stitcher, and the TuneIn radio app.
That's right. We're OUT.
So that's going to do it. In the meantime and in between time, that is it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good evening, folks.
Yeah, are we off air?
We are off air again.
Okay, just leave it running.
Okay. Better go catch it. Put that chicken wing down.